Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Big Blue Insider is on. News Radio 630 WLAP and the iHeartRadio app. To interact with the show, call us at 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. Or you can tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Welcome to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel with you on a Thursday edition of our program. The week is winding down, and we are cranking things up tonight. Busy show tonight. We're going to talk volleyball with Allie Stumler, the Kentucky senior who is the SEC Player of the Year. What a season she has had. Of course, she was a huge part of last year's national championship team. The Wildcats take aim at another title starting tomorrow night at Memorial Coliseum with Southeast Missouri. First game on Friday is Illinois and West Virginia. You can see all the games on SEC Plus or ESPN Plus, whatever you can dial into on your computer. Kathy DeBoer and I will have the action, but looking forward to seeing what this particular Kentucky team can do. It is playing its best volleyball right now, coming off a sweep, two back-to-back sweeps of Florida. You know, they play those weekend back-to-back matches now a lot of times, and both times the Wildcats swept the Gators. Keep in mind, the SEC used to be the Florida Invitational, and they'd still do a great job down in Gainesville, but it's like Kentucky basketball. Everybody else in the league aspired to be as good as Florida, or at least a lot of teams, in women's volleyball. Teams that really cared, they took aim at the team that was on top. So the road to the Southeastern Conference Championship for many, many years went through Gainesville. Now it goes through Lexington because the Wildcats have won five straight under Craig Skinner. And, of course, that culminated last year with Kentucky being the first SEC team ever to win an NCAA championship, not Florida. Gators had been to the Final Four, but they had never won the national title. It was Kentucky last year. But as you know, four of those incredible seniors that went on to their respective careers are gone, but still the Wildcats playing well, and they open up play tomorrow night. So we'll hear from Allie a little bit later. This is championship weekend in college football. Chris Doering will join us. Chris, of course, with the SEC Network, the former Florida Gator, and he will be down. I think he is leaving tonight for Atlanta. He is going to be a part of the coverage down there of that. You know, he's not going to be on-air coverage, but he'll be down there covering and observing and commenting on what's happening down there. So it's going to be really an interesting matchup with Alabama and Georgia, because it's just been Alabama all the time. And in fact, Alabama has stood in Georgia's way in at least a couple of occasions. A lot of us thought, well, Georgia's going to get by Alabama this time, but it's not happened that way, has it? You go back to 2012, the SEC title game. Bulldogs caught a pass at Alabama's 5-yard line as time expired. Alabama wins it 32-28. That was the year Alabama went on to beat Notre Dame badly in the BCS National Championship game. Notre Dame coached by Brian Kelly. And people want to knock Brian Kelly. Well, he lost that big game. He lost to an Alabama team that was phenomenal, quite frankly, that year. Then in the CFP national title game, what, 4 years ago, Georgia's up 13-0 at halftime, but loses 26-23 when a freshman named Tua Tagovailoa threw a touchdown pass to a guy named Devontae Smith, 2nd and 26 in overtime. Saban, brilliant movie. Well, some people said he had no choice. Jalen Hurts was struggling. He brings the passer off the bench. That was Tua. And he hits Devontae Smith for the touchdown. Huge game. Huge play. Legendary kind of play. And, of course, those two guys are playing in the National Football League now. The following year, same teams. Georgia up 14 in the second half. Tide wins at 35-28. Georgia tried a fake punt with 3 minutes to go, screwed it up. Alabama goes on to win. Is this the year Georgia finally turns things around? We're going to talk to Chris Doering about that. Bulldogs, of course, 12-0 for the first time since they won the national title back in 1980 with a guy named Herschel Walker. Bulldogs are a 6.5-point favorite. And if you can believe it, and I can, Alabama has been favored in 92 straight games. This, of course, an Alabama team that had to put up some miraculous plays to come back in four overtimes last week and beat Auburn 24-22. Meanwhile, Georgia is allowing less than a touchdown a game, 6.9 points per game, 78.9 rushing yards per game. And, of course, we who follow Kentucky football, we who cover Kentucky football, got a chance, some of us right up close, to see these Bulldogs. Their offense is good enough. Their defense is great. The question is, how great will this defense be against Bryce Young, who some believe put himself in the Heisman Trophy picture with that comeback win over Auburn? And sure, why not? I would much rather see a defensive player. I've always talked about this. I'd love to see a defensive player, be it from Alabama or Georgia, win the Heisman Trophy. I just think that would be so cool. And you think about some of these defenders, especially for Georgia, how they affect games. You just can't compare them statistically to quarterbacks. That's the tough thing. But I would love to see that. Speaking of Georgia defense, you might remember the name Jermaine Johnson. Maybe not. He transferred from Georgia to Florida State, a program that is nowhere near what it used to be, obviously. And you got to think there may be a coaching change there in the offing. Maybe Deion Sanders gets that head coaching job someday. Anyhow, and if he did, think of the recruiting. Anyhow, Jermaine Johnson, who transferred, senior transfer from Georgia, ACC Defensive Player of the Year. How about that? 11.5 sacks. That's incredible. 2 forced fumbles, 70 total tackles, 2 pass deflections. Well, you think he improves his NFL stock? For Georgia in 2020, only 14 total tackles. Did have 4 sacks, and they liked him at Georgia. But he decided to go to Florida State and better himself, and he did, even though the Seminoles finished up 5-7. Think about what they might have been without him. In fact, he's projected as a third-round pick now in the NFL draft. How about that? Oh, by the way, speaking of the Heisman Trophy, you know that this was announced last night, I believe. C.J. Stroud, Offensive Player of the Year in the Big Ten. Oh, yes, and the Freshman of the Year. How about that? Nation's top offense. He's among the top 7 passers in 8 different categories. Completes 71% of his passes. 351 yards per game. He's going to be breaking all kinds of records at Ohio State. More than 3,800 passing yards. That's second in school history. And he's got 38 touchdown passes. That's third. Somewhere Woody Hayes is not smiling. But a lot of people think this kid should win the Heisman Trophy, and maybe he will. I would love, though, love to see a defensive player win it. Top headline, of course, is Notre Dame and defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman. As I speak to you, he is expected to be named the next head coach at Notre Dame, turning down Brian Kelly's offer to come to LSU and be the nation's highest-paid defensive coordinator. Marcus Freeman, I didn't really know much about him until the coaching carousel began to spin, but he's only 35. And he joined Notre Dame a year after coming from Cincinnati. Can you imagine? Think about that. You're an assistant at Cincinnati, You get a great phone call. Hey, come join me at Notre Dame. Oh, cool. Now I'm at one of the premier football brands in America, and now you're a popular choice to be the next head coach of the Fighting Irish at age 35. As I understand it, players love him. Football people respect the heck out of him because of the job he did at Cincinnati and at Notre Dame. And, of course, in South Bend, they like continuity. They have already managed to keep, to retain their offensive coordinator, Tommy Rees, former Irish quarterback who played under Brian Kelly, and he's a young guy. He wrapped up his playing career just 8 years ago, and Kelly wanted him at LSU, but evidently Notre Dame has convinced him to stay. He told the team last night. So it'll be a young coaching staff, evidently, at Notre Dame. And you're going to have to go out and find some other people, Brian Kelly, to coordinate your offense and defense down at LSU. Freeman, one of the youngest head coaches in Notre Dame history. They also say that he is a terrific recruiter. But when you look at the fact that over the last four games, Notre Dame gave up a total of 23 points. I don't care who you're playing. That's good defense. And as I mentioned, a recruiter, Notre Dame is finishing up its first top five class since 2013, and Freeman is given a lot of credit for that. And he, of course, was part of that staff at Cincinnati that put the Bearcats into the college football spotlight. Freeman played at Ohio State, played briefly in the NFL, and now what a career arc for that guy. That's incredible. Just phenomenal. I mentioned yesterday the baseball strike, and it's happening. Well, it's a lockout, technically. Major League Baseball, last night, the bargaining agreement expired. As I spoke to you yesterday, it looked like it was heading that way. And last night at midnight, the sports collective bargaining agreement expired. The owners immediately locked out players, which, of course, threatened spring training and opening day. And I realize it's early December, and spring training is not until the spring, of course. But it's going to be right on top of us. And under federal labor law, this is management's equivalent of a strike. They've had labor peace in Big League Baseball for 26 and a half years. And the teams wanted to force this rather than risk the players walking out during the summer. Remember, that's what happened, some of you might not remember. That's what happened in 1994. And as I said yesterday, that's when baseball lost me. And I realized it was important in earlier days for the players to strike and be active. And I mentioned my pal Doug Flynn, who was part of that group. Here's a young guy not making much of anything. I think he made $43,000 his last year, which back then, big money in baseball. But he signed for something in the mid-teens, you know, when the Reds plucked him out of a tryout camp. And the owners were just bathing in cash. And the players finally forced enough of the issue to where the players and the owners are basically partners in all this. But what lost me is they're fighting over millions and billions. How do we relate to that as fans? When the game's getting slower and more boring, tickets are getting more expensive, concessions are getting more expensive, parking's getting more expensive. Unless you're an absolute baseball purist, why should you care? If you're living in a baseball town, you're living in Cincinnati or St. Louis, or you're part of that greater area, and you live with baseball, yeah. But There are a lot of other sports. And, you know, here you and I live in a college town or in an area of the country that's big on college sports. Baseball is killing itself. It will never be America's pastime anymore the way it used to be. But it's coming to a point where it's not even allowing itself to be competitive. So we'll stay up to date on this. But, you know, they're striking. Who cares? UK women switching to basketball last night. They knocked off West Virginia. You're going to hear a little bit more from of that coming up. We're going to hear from Ryan Howard and one of the big highlights from that game. But Kentucky beat West Virginia, 16th-ranked Wildcats beat number 23 West Virginia in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Ryan Howard had a huge game, 27 points, 4 rebounds. Dariona Edwards, 19 points, 10 boards. Kentucky rolled last night. DeMarcus Cousins made his debut for the Milwaukee Bucks in a last-second win over Charlotte. He had 7 points, 4 rebounds, 15 minutes. Bucks picked him up because Brooke Lopez is hurt. I hope they keep him. That's not a bad spot for him. Defending NBA champions? Heck, stay healthy, Boogie. Stay healthy. Maybe you get a ring. A guy who was hoping to get a ring, another ring, Frank Vogel, former Kentucky staff member, now the head coach of the Lakers. A lot of people thought he'd be the next guy fired in the NBA. Lakers are struggling, but they blew out the Kings, 117-92, in large part, they're saying, because Vogel went off on his team at halftime. A fiery speech, according to Dwight Howard, who said the point was stop talking about wanting to win a championship and not giving the correct effort. Anthony Davis was saying the same thing. Frank Vogel went off on the Lakers. We'll see if that helps. Back to talk some Kentucky football and the coaching carousel when we come back here on 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to hear from Allie Stumler, Kentucky volleyball, multiple All-American. Hour number two, Chris Doering joins us from the SEC Network to talk about Georgia and Alabama in the SEC title game down in Atlanta. Got to work 15 straight SEC championship games for the SEC Radio Network, one of my all-time favorite gigs. Hated to lose it, but that's show business. And Chris is going to be down there. I've said it many times. I just wish Kentucky would get there for the fans as much as the program. It is so much fun. It's an amazing phenomenon. It really is. And if the Wildcats do it under Mark Stoops, they'll tear up the contract he just signed or agreed to sign, and they'll write him a new one, and rightly so. And we talked a little bit yesterday about Brian Kelly and his move, and, of course, his move from Notre Dame to LSU, for whatever reason, knocked Lincoln Riley off the metaphorical front page. Riley leaves Oklahoma for Southern Cal and touches off endless debate over why. Was it a good deal? Is he a chicken? Doesn't want to coach in the SEC. And then this move, I guess because it was so abrupt, Kelly going to Notre Dame. And they're saying, well, he's got a chance at the playoff. So many things would have to happen for Notre Dame to make the playoff. He made a business decision. And I'm not a huge Brian Kelly fan because I felt like hosed the Cincinnati program when he up and left before the Sugar Bowl and took assistance with him and really damaged their chances of beating Central Florida that year. But all this talk about coaches moving and people ringing around and media people going nuts about it and, oh, the players are getting screwed and this and that. Look, this has been happening forever. And, yeah, it leaked out and the players didn't hear from the coach. It's always going to be that way now. Why? Social media. Somebody's assistant coach would tell his wife, who tells the babysitter, who tells somebody. That's the way stuff gets out. And I've got a lot more to say about this. I won't bore you with it right now. But if you go to bigblueinsider.com, I've got, it's a fairly long piece, but I think it moves pretty well. But it takes into account the fact that Mark Stoops signed a big fat contract for a heck of a lot of money. Yes, we know coaches are overpaid. We know that. That's where society is right now. There aren't that many of these big jobs, and it's what the market bears. John Calipari will tell you he's overpaid, but that's what the market bears. That's where we are as a society. And again, not a huge Kelly fan, but the Brian Kelly case kind of highlights everything that we're talking about. So like I said, bigblueinsider.com if you would indulge me and you can see what I have to say. And then hit me up on Twitter or Facebook and we'll chat about it. Coming up, Allie Stumler of the defending champion Kentucky Wildcats. She'll talk volleyball here on 630 WLAP.
You're listening to Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
This is the Prep Report brought to you by Mingy Beef Jerky. Let's take a look at the high school playoffs, specifically the Class 5A football final coming up Saturday, South Warren against Frederick Douglass from right here in Lexington. And amazingly, Douglass opened in the fall of 2017 and already is in the final for the second time. Remember, Frederick Douglass lost to Covington Catholic 14-7 back in 2019. Now, South Warren opened in the fall of 2010 and is 2-0 in the state finals, winning the 4A crown in 2015 and the 5A title in 2018, beating Covington Catholic 20-16. That's the Prep Report brought to you by Mingy Beef Jerky, located in Paris, Kentucky. Kentucky jerky hand-cut from a solid piece of beef. M-I-N-G-U-A. Find it at MingyBeefJerky.com. Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Coming up this weekend, once again, NCAA volleyball. It has become a fixture at Memorial Coliseum because of the success of Craig Skinner's team, which, as you know, is the defending national champion. And the Wildcats have another great shot this year, thanks to a lot of talented players, including my next guest on our celebrity hotline, Miss Allie Stumler. How are you, young lady?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I bet you are. Player of the year in the conference. So you had some really big sneakers to fill, didn't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We lost some really great players, some great leaders, more importantly. So definitely some big shoes to fill. But with this crew, it's really easy and everyone's got everyone's back. So it's been a really fun year.
And you've had some veterans. You're a veteran. Maddie Skinner is young, but she's a veteran. And yet you also had some new faces in the lineup this year, and they have performed just remarkably well. What did that mean to you, you veterans, seeing them find, you know, take advantage of the opportunity to play?
Yeah, I think obviously we, like I said, lost some girls, but coming in, there's no better group, no better underclassmen group to come in and do what they did. I mean, all of them, all four of them, one battling an injury, but the three, they all have stepped in big. I mean, Aaron Lamb, we saw at Tennessee, and Emma Grom, obviously, coming in, just being an absolute stud. Same thing with Eleanor. And so they came in with a lot of, just a lot on the line, I think they probably felt, but they just want to be so good. And I think that's what makes this group so special is, they want to be really good for the people around them, not for personal accolades or anything for themselves, but it's just a really selfless group, and they're in the gym more than anybody I know. So it's been really fun just to kind of help and hopefully lead them just to kind of take over this program.
Eleanor Bevin, Libero of the Year, and you know that's expected. If you're the Libero at Kentucky, at some point you got to win that award, I know. Emma Grom, who's not only Freshman of the Week, is Freshman of the Year in the SEC. And you mentioned practices, Allie. And last year, Craig said this to us all the time, and I'm guessing it's the same this year. He said practices are so competitive that the games, by the time you get to play, are fun. And that is what has really fueled this team. Has that been the case this year?
Absolutely. I think all four of my years here, practice is almost the hardest match that we play all year long, which is really cool. And whenever you can create that atmosphere in practice every single day, and it's so competitive and so high energy, and people are, you know, coming after each other, you know, a little smack talk here and there. That's what makes really good teams great. And we definitely have mastered that. And everybody just competes, and no matter how far along in the season, no matter what spot you've kind of, you know, been established on the team, that everybody's competing and everyone wants to beat you out every day. So that's why we're continually so good every single year.
Because you had veterans move along and other people, as we just mentioned, step into their place, was it a situation this season where you didn't really have to worry about resting on laurels because you did have so much new blood in that lineup? And you know, you didn't sit back and say, well, we're the champs, people are going to bow down to us. I mean, you had to go out and scrap all over again, didn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Kind of recreate what UK volleyball is going to be known for. And I think that's just kind of an awesome place to be. You know, it might be a little intimidating. Like, okay, we are a brand new team. We had a really big target on our back all year long. Yeah. You know, every every gym we go into, we are selling the place out. They're having the best attendance they've had all year. That happened multiple times this year. People just want to see us compete. And I think that's the coolest thing ever, that this program has been put on the map, and it's through our coaches and through past players that this program and the name has grown so much. So it's been really fun, and it's really awesome just to be a little piece of that.
I loved watching your matches, for instance, the one at Wisconsin. I know it didn't go the way you wanted to, but what a crowd, what atmosphere, and a great crowd again at U of L where that one got away. But how? And then you come back and you beat Stanford, you grind one out against a really strong volleyball program with a great crowd here. How did that help these youngsters? You're a vet, but how do you think that helped the youngsters prepare for what they're about to get into this coming weekend?
Yeah, I think, losses are never what people want or want to go through. But I think getting those losses early on, I think, was really beneficial for this group. And like you said, we had some young pieces. We were still figuring out the lineup and who played best next to each other and kind of the roles on the team. So those early losses really, I think, were game changers for us. And we were kind of figuring out our rhythm. And I think after those losses, that's when we kind of settled in and we realized, like, they were so close. And these teams, I mean, Louisville, number one in the country, Wisconsin, they're up there. And to lose by just, I mean, such a marginal space. And then just to know, like, we're right there behind them. And so we've taken some really big strides. And I think it would be a completely different outcome now if we play those games. So it's been really cool to see strides. Losses obviously suck, but we learned a ton from them, which is the best case scenario.
Well, and in fact, Wisconsin was ranked second when you all lost up there and still played well. I'm wondering, though, you lose to Creighton. You're swept by Creighton early on a Saturday morning. You bounce back and wiped out Southern Cal, which is another strong program. But what did you learn that weekend playing, like I said, lose? That had to be really sobering to fall to Creighton, but then you bounce right back with a huge win over a big program.
Yeah, we definitely, that's when I think our mental toughness and competitive toughness, like maturity, had to grow a lot. Obviously, playing back-to-back games, it's really difficult. Last year, that's kind of when our schedule switched over to that with COVID. We used to play, like, play game, rest, play game. But last year, it was two back-to-back everywhere we went just to kind of eliminate some travel.
Right.
So we kind of got used to that schedule. But it never gets easier, I don't think. Just that back-to-back match is really hard mentally and physically, but, you know, they're feeling the same thing. They had to go through the same thing. So just to mentally stay locked in for two matches, back-to-back days, is really not easy, but we showed that we can do it. And that just added another layer of confidence, to who we are as a program. And, I think, you know, as we got into SEC play, it's the same thing. We had to play back-to-back days and against Florida, a really good team. And, I think it just bled over, and it really just gave us confidence to know that we can play back-to-back matches and have great mental toughness.
Well, speaking of which, you sweep Florida on back-to-back nights. In fact, you all haven't dropped a set in almost a month. November 4th back against South Carolina, 8 straight sweeps after that. And, you know, you had that kind of a run going last year, and you actually dropped a set against Texas, but you guys kind of, as they like to say in the South, bowed your neck and bounced back. You feel like this team is ready for anything going into this tournament?
Yeah, I do. I think that's something that we talk about all the time, is especially against really good teams. Like, you never know how the game's going to start. So against Florida, we were really prepared for anything. You know, we could start really hot and we could be up 2-0, or we could be down 2-0. But until that final whistle, this team will never stop fighting, and we prepare that way every day in practice. And, you know, it starts with SEMO on Friday. We're going to prepare this week the same way we're going to prepare as we're preparing for the Final Four and, you know, championship match.
Craig Skinner was the National Coach of the Year last year. Obviously, he's been SEC Coach of the Year more than once. Obviously, he can recruit well. But beyond that, Allie, what is it about Craig Skinner that makes him such an effective coach?
I think just his passion for the game is something that is so contagious, number one. And number two, just the way that he cares for, you know, us, not only as players, but as people. You know, I say that all the time, but that's something that is so true and so genuine, is, you know, he has created this culture. If you just look at the trajectory of this program and how it's just gone up since he's been here, you know, these last 15, 16 years. He's totally turned this program around, and it's because he recruits players of character and he brings coaches in that have great character. And we talk about that all the time, no matter, you know, we can be really good volleyball players and don't care for the people next to us on the court, you know, we're not going to end up being a great program. So he definitely has created that culture here, which makes this team so special.
Well, I'll let you go with this. I have covered volleyball for a long time at Kentucky, and it's really fun to me to see the sport growing and see the crowds growing. I've actually done matches on TV when there's a basketball game right down the street, and you still get a great crowd, and you're going to get a great crowd this weekend. What does that mean to being able to host and having Kentucky fans show up the way they have for your program?
Yeah, it's the coolest feeling. Even this past week, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, we're traveling and we had, I think, one of the biggest attendances that we've ever had here at Memorial. People packed this place for against Florida both days, which was just awesome. And it's really cool. And just trying to soak up every moment because we truly do have the best fans. And like I said earlier, the sport is growing so much. And it's just really cool just to see people kind of take notice of who UK volleyball is and what this sport is becoming, women's sport in general. So it's really awesome. And we do truly have just the best fans ever. So I'm pumped to see who comes out this weekend.
Allie Stumler, SEC Player of the Year. Congratulations once again on that, on another SEC championship. Best of luck as you defend the national title. And I know you're going to have a lot of fun at your last go around. So I know you're looking to leave it all out there on the court, aren't you?
Absolutely. Great. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We'll see you this weekend. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Thanks again to Allie Stumler, and best of luck to her and her volleyball playing teammates as the NCAA tournament opens up tomorrow and the Wildcats begin defense of their national championship. They have the skill to win. It's going to take a little bit of luck, not quite as talented as last year's team, but good enough, I think, to make a deep run in the tournament. And with a break here or there, they could get back to the Final Four. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And if you're interested in going, tickets are available. Go to ukathletics.com and check it out. If you can't get there, we'll have it for you on SEC Plus. So we'll have the games streaming for you via the facilities of the SEC network. UK women's basketball team in action last night and got a big win over West Virginia, part of the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Big night for Ryan Howard. What else is new, right? 27 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. 16th ranked Wildcats win it 83-60. And it wasn't a rout until late in the game, second half. But first half, when things were still up in the air, Jada Walker made a huge play, and Darren Hedrick singled that out as his play of the game in the postgame show.
Here's Hunt, top of the circle. Shot clock at 7. Hunt moving left. Hunt passing right. Walker is wide open for 3. Bottom! Cats are in front, 24-23. That was a beautiful play, and now Walker steals the inbounds. Shaded to the basket, fouled, and the shot goes in as the roof comes off the Coliseum. And Anne-1, she's a freshman. Walker with the steal. Walker with the bucket. Walker with the harm, and she'll go to the line.
And, of course, Darren talked to Ryan Howard after the game, and they talked about the fact that West Virginia plays a similar style. West Virginia ranked 23rd coming into this game, plays a similar style to Kentucky. And Ryan talked about the fact that that helped the Wildcats prepare, obviously.
Yeah, most definitely. Like, they want to be similar. Okay, we're going to show you that we're better, basically. But that just helps to our advantage again because, like, we knew how they want to play. We know, like, what kind of looks they want to get, who they're trying to go to. So we just use that and, you know, use it against them.
There was a great crowd listed as 3,587, and did they get loud? And yeah, Howard said the Wildcats noticed.
When it was getting loud, it's like everybody was loud. Like, we were all hyped. We were all pumped. We were like, okay, like, y'all, like, they're on our back. So we going to ride this out. We going to do it for them. Like, the fans are going to hold us no matter what. If we're up or if we're down, they're going to be cheering as loud as they can. So we just use that as motivation, as extra energy, and just, you know, turn it around.
So another huge game for Ryan Howard. Nothing unusual about that. Breonna Edwards, she's had a nice season already. And 19 points, 10 rebounds, career-high 6 block shots. For Edwards, the most blocks by a UK player since March of 2016, when Alexis Jennings blocked 6 against Oklahoma. That was in the NCAA tournament back in 2016. And we mentioned Jada Walker earlier, had the big play, the big sequence, 13 points and 4 rebounds. Remember, she is just a freshman. Wildcats hit 51% from the floor, and get this, 57, almost 58% from beyond the arc. They were 11 of 19. If you want to watch Kentucky, the Wildcats, the UK women, take on Merrimack at Memorial Coliseum this Sunday, 2 o'clock, and you can see the game on SEC Network Plus. And, of course, we will have it for you right here on 630 WLAP. Another note of interest from UK athletics. You might have seen this young lady perform, Klein Powell, formerly a member of the UK dance team, and she has realized a lifelong dream and has made the Dallas Cowboys cheerleading squad. Wow. So when you watch the Cowboys, and I know a lot of you are Cowboy fans, I personally am not, even though I lived there for a couple of years and went to some Cowboy games, but keep in mind that one of the many, many, it seems like there's a million of them, but it's hard to make the team. There's a reality show, you know, how competitive all that can be. But here's a young lady who danced for the Kentucky Wildcats, graduated back in May, and decided to take a shot, and she has made the Dallas Cowboys dance team. So congratulations to her. And a Big Blue Insider tip of the cap to Kenneth Horsey, part of the Big Blue Wall. He has been named to the 2021 SEC Community Service Team. That is a team that for each of its 21 league-sponsored sports tries to highlight an athlete from each school who gives back to his community through what they call superior service efforts. You might know his story. He is from Sanford, Florida. And when he was a high school senior, he began to complain of pain in his side, winds up in the emergency room, and doctors found a growth on one of his heart valves. He had to have open heart surgery back in April of 2018. They said, son, you can't play football anymore. But he had other ideas, and Kentucky never gave up on him, never withdrew the scholarship offer. So he comes to Lexington, redshirts in 2018, and works his way back to full health. He's played 24 games, including 20 consecutive starting assignments. He is part of that Big Blue Wall, but he's also part of the Lexington community. He has been active with the American Heart Association, spoke at the Central Kentucky Heart Walk kickoff event, the UK Healthcare Heart Walk kickoff event. He helped plan a hands-only CPR media availability this past summer, coordinated a hands-only CPR training session for the UK football team this past spring. And because I'm active with the Kentucky chapter of the American Heart Association, I've had a chance to interact with him. So he's a great kid, great young man. All right, stay tuned. Hour number two is coming up. We're going to talk with Chris Doering of the SEC Network, one of our favorites, and, of course, Billy Rutledge to help you with your NFL fantasy team and make your NFL picks. That's next here on 630 WLAP.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.